Chapter 16, Set Free at Last. Sounds of celebration could be heard clearly, even though the distance was still great from Chase's house. He had pushed hard to return home quickly and see what he believed with all his heart to be true. His ears now led him to believe even more that all was as he hoped it would be. Drawing closer, he could see people pointing and calling his name while dancing and leaping in the air with joy. Suddenly, a horse appeared from the midst of the crowd, and with it, its rider waving madly as he rushed toward him. He knew at once it was the answer to his prayers, the desire of his heart, purpose of his trip, the proof of his belief, and the handiwork of his Lord. Yes, there astride the onrushing horse was Jason, his beloved servant. As he approached, Chase could hear him scream, "Master, I'm healed, I'm healed, I've been set free." Just as the two horses met, both riders jumped from their mount, almost falling as they ran toward each other, and they laughed and cried and held each other for the longest time. Chase slowly pulled back and said, "Let me look at you, my friend." Tears of joy ran down Jason's cheeks as he said, "Master, you were right, weren't you? Your Jesus did this, didn't he?" Chase said, "Yes, my friend, he did." As they both remounted their horses, Jason began to relate the events of the preceding day. They moved slowly, wanting to share the special moment without the interference of the crowd that now stood waiting at the distance. Jason's eyes filled with tears many times while sharing the unbelievable events to Chase. Chase pointed out that it was Thursday, and he had ridden through the night to save a day. He clarified that, in fact, he left on Tuesday morning near Capernaum, at night staying in a local inn, then leaving shortly after his special encounter with Jesus around 10 Wednesday morning. Jason's eyes seemed to sparkle when he heard Chase speak, knowing now for certain from what his master had just said, the reality and the magnitude of his experience. Now Jason spoke. Tuesday seemed to drag on forever, Jason related. The fear, anguish, seemed to grow stronger throughout the day. At supper time, when the servants tried to feed him, Jason said something seemed to grab his throat and hold the food fast as if trying to choke him. He could almost feel a hand wrap around his neck and squeeze. He said he was sure he would have choked to death if he hadn't fallen from the bed to the floor, causing the food to become dislodged. No one is sure how he fell, though. He couldn't move due to the paralysis. Those present said it was as if an unseen hand had saved him from seemingly sure death. This brought more fear into the house. The servants spoke among themselves all the strange happenings and even the master's strange words before departing. Now Jason's eyes grew cold as he shared how the night seemed it would never end. His dreams had been haunting before, but nothing like this. Evil seemed to be everywhere, as if desperate to accomplish its task. He kept feeling as if the battle was literally raging above him and at times within him. At one point, he felt steel-cold hands grip his heart and seek to pull it down through his body. Many other cold hands pulling down on the rest of him joined forces with these. As he laid there, certain his life was over, almost giving in to the evil hissing in his ears, the silent screams of, "Yes, pull down, quickly, take him down, he's ours," rang in his ears, and at the last second, a light shined all around him, blazing brighter than the noonday sun. Even with his eyes closed, his life all but gone, he still sensed the presence there with him, ultimate power and glory. He recalled Chase telling him of God, the one true God. Somehow, he knew this was him. As he heard the last shrill scream from within his mind crying, "No," the cold hands released their grip, causing his body to seem to float. The life once all but gone flowed back into him. A tiny spark of hope began to burn deep inside his heart. Then just as suddenly as appeared, the light and the feeling were gone. He related how he was left there alone with his thoughts to ponder if he was going crazy. Did any of this really happen, or was it just another dream? He tried to move and still laid helpless, bound by the bonds he began to realize he had created himself, beginning to undermine that fear and worry that created this fate. It was far worse than he had even thought it might be. He saw how helpless he was to reverse its effects now. What people saw on him outside was physical paralysis, but even greater paralysis existed on the inside. He now lay unable to shake free of the bonds of either. Finally, Jason said morning came. It seemed the sun without warmth shone through the window that Wednesday. Sorrow gripped him hard, and despair seemed his only companion. Even though down inside was still that flicker of hope, it was like an unseen candle in a cold dark night. You know it's there, but you can't find it or see it. The servants came with food, but fear gripped him at once, and he drank something quickly before his throat again was choked as before. Morning drug on as a new battle waged from a final desperation taking place. Then an onslaught of fear overwhelmed him. With it came coldness and almost irresistible desire to just let go and die. "Stop breathing," I heard myself say, Jason related. Somehow, just in time, the sun broke through. Its warmth radiated through the room, seeming as if the room was filled with the sun itself. That little flame inside began to grow. I felt the warmth within as well as without. I could feel my legs again. I felt my back. I felt my hands. I felt my fingers. I felt it all. My body. That feeling again. As I lay there, Master, I could feel the strength of my youth come back into my body, and then suddenly I realized all my fear was gone. I cared not what befell me, for I was not going to worry or fear what was ahead. I knew for certain that all you had been telling me was true, and that you had asked the one true God for my healing. Then I knew for certain it had been granted you. Master, at that moment I said, "Lord, I know you not, but my Master does, and I want to know you too." Something happened in my heart that moment I can't exactly describe. It was like a hole was filled with something that wasn't there before. "I wasn't me anymore, Chase. Does that make sense?" he asked. Chase said, "Yes, Jason, it makes perfect sense," he smiled. "I'm not me anymore either." Jason went on to share how he decided to try to move, and he could. He said at first he rose to his feet. At once his hunger came over him from lack of many meals, and he found himself heading for the kitchen. And as he walked in the door, Sylvia, the new servant girl, looked up, immediately fainting, knocking many pans to the floor. The sound brought all the remaining servants to the kitchen. Funny at first, some were so concerned with Sylvia they didn't even take notice of Jason. Suddenly, everyone is around, touching him to make sure it was actually him. Still, most of them were totally confused at what had happened and kept changing the story. Each tried to tell others around the small community. Chase looked at Jason and asked, "My friend, what time of day did this happen?" As if I didn't know. 10 o'clock hour in the morning. Chase said, "Just when our Lord said it would be so." They both smiled, riding silently through the crowd of revelers who seemed totally content to celebrate the healing, celebrate their Master's return. Yet somehow, like so many even today, they missed the miracle of the moment and the power in their midst. Will you miss the message and the power of this story taken from the pages of Scripture? A book that says in Hebrews 4:12 that it is living and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to the dividing of the soul and the spirit, joints and marrow, and it judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. Search your heart today. Look into the mirror of God's word and see yourself for who you really are. Allow Him to change and heal you today. Don't be like the crowd, enjoying the moment but not seeing you in the story. James says in 1:23-24, "A man looks at his face and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like." Please don't let that be you today. Jesus still today can but speak a word and make it so in your life. Be who you were created to be. Walk in it starting today. There's a prayer for you, so they have said. "So why is it you feel as if you're dead? With hands so cold, they freeze your heart, and fear your spirit and soul will part. A battle rages for your soul. You're powerless, it takes its toll. When all is lost, and so it seems, a radiance falls like warm sunbeams. The room is filled, cold has left. You're safe if hidden in the cleft." Now as you lay and ponder long, you start to wonder, feeling strong. You're sure you felt it, but still you lie, helpless to break free, condemned to die. The prayer's now spoken, the word now shared, by Him who loves you, Him who cared. Nothing you said, nothing you cried, has brought about this change inside. It wasn't you. You're sure of this. So what's the source? What did you miss? Could it actually be my healing is real? Are these my legs and hands I feel? It was the prayer. It was the love. It was God's hands reaching from above. I see it now. I know it's true. Prayer can make one's life brand new. When it's His will you wish to see, then God's true power will set you free.